KMBA, keeping you in tune with our community. And as we finally start to get a little bit more solar power these days, with the days getting longer, our thoughts turn to alternative energy sources. And Katie Marquette, I guess we should be thinking about alternative energy sources all year long.
Yeah, we should. It's about that time. All year round, too.
Our pal Katie Marquette joins us from Renewable Energy Alaska Project, or REAP. And it's just about monthly clean energy forum time.
It's that time tonight at the library.
Tonight. Okay, we remind folks that the forums are now moved a while back to the Lusac Library.
Right. We are moved to the Lusac Library. We're now in the Wilda Marson Theater. From here on out, we had a couple that were up in their innovation lab. So 6:30 to 8:30 tonight at the Wilda Marson Theater, and we're going to be talking about wind power in Alaska. So this is going to be pretty fun, pretty interesting to hear about those big old wind turbines.
And there's so much new stuff happening, and I've heard you cite some pretty amazing figures about, I mean, just talk briefly about, before we get into the specifics about the forum, talk briefly about the sort of exponential explosion of the use of wind power in the Great Land.
We've seen a big jump in the amount of wind that Alaska has in the wind turbines in the last few years. At the end of 2013, we jumped up to 2% of our electric generation was from wind power, which doesn't seem like a lot, but that really is a big spike from where we were. And we've seen a lot of big wind farms. So, you know, we have Fire Island Wind Farm, which is, I believe, a 17 megawatt wind farm. That's right here in Anchorage off the coast in Cook Inlet. And then there's also the Eva Creek Wind Farm that's up near Fairbanks around Healy, owned by Golden Valley Electric, and it's a 24 megawatt wind farm.
Wow.
And then
how many wind farms are there in the state?
There are lots.
Bunches and bunches.
I that's a good question. I don't think I have the exact number. But there are certainly a couple of big ones. There's a sizable wind farm in Nome. And then, like I said, Eva Creek and Fire Island. And then Pillar Mountain in Kodiak is
Speaking about just amazing figures, is you told me about the amount of renewable energy that Kodiak is producing.
Kodiak is really like the poster child of renewable energy in Alaska. They are doing some amazing things. 94% renewable energy electricity. They have 20% of that comes from wind, from the Pillar Mountain Wind Farm, which they just expanded, I think, 2 years ago. So they now have 9 megawatts, 6 wind turbines. And then they have the Terror Lake Hydroelectric Project, which covers about 74-75%. And so I actually read recently that if they figure out how to cover that last 6% of their electric generation, they'll be the first city in the United States to be 100% renewable energy.
I mean, how many would you think of cities of that size would have even 94% though?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's how many?
How many cities?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I like using the term poster child.
Yeah. They're really doing great things. We're really impressed with Kodiak. So, tonight we're going to be mostly talking about Fire Island, what's going on at Fire Island, how have the wind turbines been performing. It was commissioned about a year and a half, 2 years ago now, and they've been doing really well, and so well, in fact, that they're starting to talk about building phase two of Fire Island. So it's Fire Island Wind is a subsidiary of SERI, and SERI has begun the plans to start construction on phase two of the project. And so that's what we'll be hearing about tonight, how it's been performing thus far, and then what they're doing to expand the wind farm for the future.
And you've got a special keynote speaker that's going to be presenting on that on Fire Island?
So Suzanne Gibson, she is the kind of in charge of Fire Island Wind for SERI. She's going to be talking. And then our second speaker is a gentleman by the name of Dennis Miners, and he's with a business called Intelligent Energy Systems, and they produce or they help develop wind diesel hybrid systems in rural Alaska. And so that's a bit of a different technology when you're not feeding into a big grid. You're feeding into a system where many of these communities are running off of diesel generators. And so how do you integrate that diesel generator?
When they're used to having these closed systems.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You have these closed systems. And so how do you integrate the wind into this closed system with the diesel generator? And really, this is pretty interesting. Alaskans have actually been pioneers in this technology and really led the way in developing these wind diesel hybrid systems. So Dennis has done a lot of work in Western Alaska, in those villages around the Bethel region, and so he's going to be talking about his projects and kind of explaining that technology, the difference between the wind turbines at Fire Island and these wind diesel hybrid systems. So it'll be really, really interesting. I think it's going to be a great broad topic for all folks.
Now, has that hybrid diesel and wind technology, I mean, has that been around for a while?
Yeah, it has. We've had wind turbines in Alaska for many, many years, 20, 30 years. So it has been around for a while, and they're doing great things with it. And it's something that could be implemented in other parts of the world. There are a lot of communities across the world that are still heavily reliant on diesel generators to get their power. And so this is certainly something that could be implemented in other places, and maybe Alaskans could be the ones who are teaching people about this.
And like any other technology, I suppose this is certainly a work in progress and evolving.
Absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely, it is. It's evolving all the time, and so that's probably one of the things that Dennis will cover is the advances that they're making now with this technology.
Is part of this going to be sort of on the promotional end to try to introduce that sort of technology to other communities, or at least to extol the benefits of it?
Well, certainly, yeah. There will be a little bit of that, but I think it's mostly educational. It's teaching people, what these systems are doing and how they're benefiting Alaskan communities, and then also the differences in the technology, because there is a big difference in how it's integrated in a more urban environment like the rail belt and how it's integrated in closed system in diesel generated communities.
Okay. And lowering that carbon footprint the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very nice. I'm still stuck on this 94% renewable
energy
thing in Kodiak. They should get like a medal or a Boy Scout merit badge or something.
They're doing great things.
That's very cool. Okay, so there's this challenge coming up called the Watts Up or Down Challenge. Very nice name, by the way. Did you choose that name?
I did not. Okay. I wish that I did.
All right.
Actually,
Watts Up or Down.
That's actually passed. So that's all done.
Okay.
That was just a summary on our website. But it's great that you brought that up. That was a really, really great program that we put on with Chugach Electric. We went into a bunch of different schools across South Central, connected with 700 middle school students to teach them about energy efficiency and conservation. And there was a middle school 8th grade class at Golden View Middle School here in Anchorage, Team Zogawatt from Mr. Zogus, 8th grade class. They won the challenge, and they saved a bunch of energy. And so basically what they had to do is learn about being energy efficient and then go home and say, hey, Mom and Dad, we need to save energy. And so that's how this team won, is it was who saved the most energy in their homes. And in all of the students together saved enough energy to power an Xbox game console, I think, for like 20 years. Like, these kids are rock stars. And it really shows that
I like their benchmarks of measurement, too.
Yeah,
Xboxes.
Okay. That's what translates to middle schoolers. Uh-huh. But if you teach these kids young about the importance of energy conservation and energy efficiency, they really get it. And that's what's important, and that's what's going to help us do great things in the future.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to that, and we'll look forward to another fine session this evening, the Clean Energy Forum, part of the Clean Energy Lecture Series on Wind Power in Alaska, 6:30 to 8:30 this evening at the Lusac Library, Wilda Marston Theater. And let's see. Well, we're out of time. We got to go, but I got to say happy 10th birthday to Reap
in
advance.
Yeah.
So maybe next time we can come in and talk about some of the things that are coming
up
for the big birthday celebration. All right. Katie Marquette, thanks so much for joining us today on Morning Line.
Thank you.
And if you or your organization has information that you'd like to share with our community, you can reach us by email. It's feedback@knba.org. The fax is 793-3536, or feel free to stop by and say hi. We're in the Natuk Nonprofit Center at 3600 San Geronimo Drive. Up next, National Native News, followed by Native America Calling. You can join the show toll-free, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Till tomorrow, have a great day. Be safe and hug the kids.
You're listening to KNBA Anchorage 90.3 FM.